I'll get in trouble for this, I'm certain, but...
Yes, sir. Welcome back to another episode of the Saturday Six Podcast. We are back for episode 60. 60 episodes in the book, talking college football, and we are back again to do just that. And by we, I mean me. Tyler is not here with us this week. We have had a whole host of problems over the last couple of weeks, some technical issues, and just trying to line up schedules here. But I wanted to sit down and talk some college football because we got a great slate coming up. Week 12 is on the way. We've had some early season action already start off during the week, but Saturday, that's where all the big ones are sitting, and we are excited to talk about it. So I'm going to get into Georgia, Tennessee, some good ACC, some good Big Ten action going down, as well as maybe a couple of teams on upset alert this Saturday. So we will get into that here shortly. Before we do that, as always, just want to remind you guys to share the podcast with a friend if you enjoy it. Give us a rating on your podcast platform and make sure that you're following us on our social media platforms at Saturday Six Pod. Always putting new content out on there for you guys. So without further ado, we will jump into it. Week 12. Let's go. All right, let's get into it. And as always, want to kind of start with the big one, right? Get it out of the way, get to it. This is what the folks are listening for. So let's start in Athens, Georgia. We have a top 15 showdown Saturday night in Athens, 7:30 kickoff on ABC. Dogs obviously coming off of that loss against Ole Miss. They are hoping to bounce back against a number 7 ranked Tennessee Vols program coming into this game at 8-1. Only loss so far on the year is to Arkansas. Big game, man. Big game. And I think this one comes down to one, health, right? Like, we know that there are a ton of injuries for Georgia. They are down a ton of running backs at this point. You are without Trevor Etienne. You are without Branson and Roderick Robinson. Cash Jones has been banged up. So we're going to see a ton of the freshman, Nate Frazier. Now, Tennessee on defense, only allowing 2.8 yards per rush on the season. So, you know, for a Georgia team that has had a little bit of a struggle so far this year, establishing that run game, now you're without a lot of your depth. It's going to be tough, man. It's going to be tough. They're going to have to rely on Carson Beck to get this done with his arm, because I just don't see a scenario where Georgia is able to get it going in the run game consistently enough. Now, you may break one or two big ones, but can you do it consistently enough to end up in, you know, second and third and manageable? That's going to be the big problem there for the Dogs, I believe. So can you be more explosive in that passing game? Right? Like, we've seen, I mean, Georgia fans, bear with me here for a second. We have seen Carson Beck and this offense struggle mightily over the last several weeks to get anything going in the passing game. Turnovers have been an issue. Drops have been an issue. Separation from your receivers against those corners that you're going up against every week has been an issue. So, you know, can we be a little more explosive? Can we get some things going downfield? I think that's a big question mark. Carson Beck is currently ranked 49th in the country in yards per pass attempt at 7.8. Some other quarterbacks that have a 7.8 yards per pass attempt, talking about Sellers from South Carolina, Diego Pavia from Vandy, Connor Bazelak from Bowling Green. I mean, it's just got to get more explosive in the passing game if you're gonna put up points on Saturday, and it's really as simple as that. And then on defense, if you're a Georgia man, you got to get a pass rush, and you got to get it with 4 or 5. Right, you can't be leaving these corners on islands in the back half. So can you get home with Mykael Williams? Can you get home with Jalen Walker on the edge? The pass rush, it was non-existent against Bama, zero sacks. You only got one against Ole Miss. Those are their two losses this year. In other big games against Texas, they had seven. They were able to get Ewers and Arch Manning on the ground seven times. So I think you've got to have something closer to that Texas game, obviously, if you want to get this Tennessee offense off of its rhythm and off of the field on Saturday. Now, on the Tennessee side, I think health is a big question mark here, too, obviously, right? Like Nico goes out, he's in concussion protocol throughout this week. Josh Heupel has been keeping the cards close to the vest about whether or not he's going to play. I'm operating under the assumption that he is going to play. That seems like that's the direction that we're moving. I think if you're Georgia, you're probably operating under the same assumption, right? Nico is the more running quarterback. The backup, we saw Gaston Moore come in last week's game, and he's just sort of the pure pocket passer. Doesn't scare you with his legs. So if I'm Georgia, I'm preparing for Nico. I'm preparing for his legs. If it doesn't happen, then you're pleasantly surprised. And, you can let those linebackers sort of drop into coverage a little bit more. But Nico's health and his running ability, if he is healthy, is a big key for Tennessee. Another one on the offensive side of the ball for the Vols, it's got to be these wide receivers, right? Like we've seen Squirrel White and Brew McCoy. Not really winning these one-on-ones downfield as much as we expect them to. And Brew McCoy, that's a big old boy. I mean, you should be able to turn these 50-50 balls into more like 70-30 balls, but they have not been winning those one-on-ones down the field. I think Georgia's secondary is potentially a matchup that they could do that. We've seen them be a little vulnerable in that back half, especially last week against Ole Miss as they were able to carve up that secondary. So can those wide receivers win downfield? And then on defense for Tennessee, just get back off his spot, man. We've seen it as Georgia fans over the last several weeks. When he is pressured, he is not good. It's about as simple as it gets. It ain't good. All right. So can you get back off of his spot? Can you get him sped up a little bit in the pocket? That's when he seems to commit turnovers. And it's been a whole heck of a lot of them in the last 4 or 5 games for Georgia. So I think that's the keys for Georgia. I think that's the keys for Tennessee. Which way do I see this one playing out? I think the defenses, man. I think the defenses are what is going to have to win it for you, especially if you are Georgia. I think we've seen that defense. They've been on the field a whole hell of a lot, because the offense is three and out or it's turning it over in plus territory. So, can you pin your ears back, get Nico uncomfortable in the pocket, limit the use of his legs, and then can you force those wide receivers to have to go up and make big plays over top of you, and allow them to get one or two maybe, but they can't be catching fades and back shoulders all week or all night long. It's gonna make for a long game for the Georgia Bulldogs, but. This one is in Sanford Stadium. It is going to be rocking. Georgia is coming off of a long, long stretch away from home. Those fans will be ready. They'll be ready for Tennessee. Spread's 9.5, man. I don't quite see it getting that high, but obviously Vegas knows what they're doing here. I'm going to take Tennessee plus 9.5. I'll take Georgia to win this game straight up. I see this one being a four-quarter game. All right, let's head to the ACC. We have a good matchup here between 2-7-2 teams. We have the number 20 ranked Clemson Tigers. They are headed to the great state of Pennsylvania. Going to face off against those Pitt Panthers. Now, Clemson is a 10-point road favorite here, noon Eastern time on ESPN Saturday. It's starting to run out of the magic here if you're Pitt, right? Like you win seven straight, you are on a roll, you're ranked in the top 25, you're feeling really good about yourself. But they were close wins, man. You were eking a lot of those out. And now you've had two straight losses to SMU and Virginia. And now you got Clemson coming to town. But at the same time, this is a Pat Narduzzi-led Pitt Panthers team that has beaten Clemson a few times in the last several years. Pat Narduzzi is 2-2 when going up against Dabo Swinney and those Clemson Tigers. So this is the rubber match. This is the one that decides which team comes out on top here. If I'm Clemson, you just got to convert on third down. You got to finish these drives in the red zone. You got to get touchdowns and not field goals. If you're kicking field goals, you give Pitt a chance to stay alive in this game. But I fully believe if Cade Klubnik is executing on these drives when they get down into the red zone, if he's able to use his legs to take advantage of this Pitt defense like we've seen him do at times this year, I think that Clemson could get out to a big lead. On defense, if I'm Clemson, you got to make Holstein uncomfortable. He's only completing 61% of his passes. Started the season really hot and has cooled off considerably as of late. So I'd like to see you pressure him. Maybe he throws one to your DBs and you're able to get a turnover there. But I think if you're Clemson, obviously you got to speed that guy up, not let him sit back there and pick you apart. If I'm Pitt, again, convert third downs, man. You're 36% on third down this year. That number has got to be higher on Saturday if you want to pull off this upset. I think you've also got to find a way to limit the run game for Clemson. If Phil Mafah is able to rip off 5, 6, 7 yards a clip, it's going to be a long damn afternoon for the Pitt Panthers. You got to slow him down, limit him to 4 yards a carry. I think you've got a better shot in this one, and hopefully you can force some turnovers on defense. Maybe get some short fields. That would sure help in pulling this one off, but I don't think it's enough, man. I think Pitt is sliding here. I think they got off to a hot start, won some close games, some coin flips that maybe they should not have, and we've seen them cool off. I think this is the third straight loss for the Panthers. Clemson gets it done on the road, and they cover that 10 points. All right, let's head down the road. Let's go up to Wisconsin. Let's head to Madison. It's a great college football town, and they are going to be able to put it on display Saturday night, 7:30 on NBC, the number one team in the land. The undefeated Oregon Ducks are headed to Wisconsin, facing off against Luke Fickell and these pesky Badgers. Ducks are only a 14-point favorite right now on DraftKings. An interesting spread to me because, we've seen Oregon take care of business. When it looks like, hey, this might be a trap game, maybe Oregon needs to kind of watch out for this team. They go in there and they lay down the hammer. They don't mess around, folks. That is why they're the undisputed number one team in the country and why a lot of folks are jumping on the bandwagon and taking them to win a national championship. But I am here to tell you that this might just be the week, folks. This has trap game written all over it. Okay. Oregon. Obviously, you've got Washington next. That's the final game, the big rivalry game. Now, do you look ahead to that one a little bit? Hopefully not, but we know that you can throw the records out the window when those two teams get together. Washington got the better of Oregon twice last year. So I suspect that Oregon will be ready for that game, but could they be overlooking this Wisconsin team? Now we know Camp Randall gets rowdy, and when the number one team is coming and it's a night game, jump around in the fourth quarter, I mean, it's going to be loud. So Wisconsin, can you start fast? Right? Can you get up 7-0? Can you get up 10-3? Can Braden Locke not turn the ball over? That one's going to be huge, right? If you turn the ball over, if you are minus in the turnover margin in this game, no shot. I'm just going to tell you right now, you got no shot. Locke has 8 touchdowns, but 8 interceptions this year. He's got to be better with his decision making on Saturday. And then on defense, if you're Wisconsin, you got to tackle, bro. It sounds easy, right? But Oregon is thriving on yards after catch this year. It is very efficient. It is very close to the line of scrimmage, these throws that Dillon Gabriel is making. But they get it to these wide receivers on the outside. They get it to Tez Johnson. They get it to Evan Stewart, and they make a couple guys miss, and they're gone, right? So can you come up and tackle? Can you keep those yards after catch to a minimum? I think that's a big key on Saturday night. And then can you get a couple short fields, right? We talked about it in the last matchup with Clemson and Pitt. If Pitt's going to pull that one off, they need a couple short fields. I think Wisconsin needs a couple short fields on Saturday night as well. Oregon in their two closest games this year, they played Boise tight, and obviously they played Ohio State tight. Now, I'm not comparing Wisconsin to Ohio State, but I think Wisconsin and Boise are similar in talent level. And Oregon was only able to muster up two sacks and one turnover in both of those games combined. So, can you keep Braden Locke upright? Can you limit the turnovers? That is the recipe for a close game for Wisconsin. I see it, folks. I see this being a trap game. I see Oregon maybe overlooking Wisconsin, looking forward to what they want to do in that rivalry game against Washington next week. And not to mention, they're coming off of eight straight, folks. They haven't had a bye yet. They've played eight straight games, and they are going two time zones across the country to play this one on Saturday night. So I'm just saying, I don't know if it'll happen, but I'm going to take Wisconsin to cover 14, keep it within two touchdowns. Oregon still gets the win. I don't think they get upset. Just keep an eye on it, guys. I'm just saying, keep an eye on it Saturday night. All right, back to the SEC we go for one that I'm just super excited for. I think this is a sneaky matchup that maybe a lot of folks are not paying attention to. You've got two teams that have played really well at certain points in the year and have played pretty poorly at certain points in the year. I think both of these teams are trending in opposite direction. This one has got good vibes all over it for the South Carolina Gamecocks, coming in at 6-3, ranked at number 21 in the top 25. And maybe some shaky vibes on the other side for the visiting 7-2 Missouri Tigers. They are ranked number 23 in the country. South Carolina, the Gamecocks, a 14-point favorite at home. Don't get me wrong, guys. I know that stadium can get rocking, but 14 over a 7-2 Missouri squad. Now, 4:15 kickoff on SEC Network. This one, like I said, man, it's got vibes written all over it. South Carolina is hot right now. They've won three straight against the likes of Oklahoma. They demolished Texas A&M on the road, I might add. And then they've come off of a big win last week against Diego Pavia and the Vanderbilt Commodores. So they are rolling right now. And Missouri is quite the opposite, like I stated. Now they've turned it over to Drew Pine at quarterback. Connor Cook has been dealing with injuries this year, and it just hasn't looked great over the last several weeks for Missouri. So you're hoping that they can figure some things out with the backup quarterback. On offense, man, just block. Just block that South Carolina defensive line, and you'll be all right. Now it's a big ask because LSU couldn't do it. Bama could barely do it. Texas A&M couldn't do it. So it's a big ask, but can you keep Stewart and Kennard at bay a little bit more? Can you keep your quarterback upright? That's going to be a big key here. If they're just pinning their ears back, it's going to be a long damn day. South Carolina will run away with this game. You got to keep the quarterback upright. Two, on defense, if I'm the Tigers, tackle, right? Like these things sound simple, guys. Block and tackle, right? But it's gonna be big. Lenore Sellers, South Carolina's quarterback, is elite with his legs. Gotten smarter with the passing game as the year has gone on. But definitely an athletic quarterback that likes to beat you with his legs. And then we know that Rocket Sanders, the transfer from Arkansas, has been doing pretty good things for the Gamecocks this year. Can you come up? Can you tackle those big backs carrying the ball at 3, at 4 yards at the line of scrimmage? Can you handle that? That's going to be a big ask, but I think that is a key. Stopping them from establishing that run game will definitely keep Missouri in this game late. If I'm South Carolina, man, this is your game. right? This is where you take a step forward. You're sitting at 6-3. Can we get to 7-3? Can we really start pushing for some of these bigger goals that we have? You're not completely out. You're not completely out of this SEC championship race. Now, a whole hell of a lot's got to happen for you, but you are not out of it by any stretch of the imagination. So I think you see a lot of the run game on Saturday. I think maybe they try to get Nyquil Harbor involved in maybe some jet sweeps, use his speed, use his size on the outside, throw him some go balls, throw him some back shoulders. I think that South Carolina gets this one done in a big way on Saturday. I think they cover 14. I think they blow Missouri out. I think Drew Pine is just not cutting it for the Tigers. It's going to be a long afternoon. Long afternoon for Missouri. All right, two more games to pick. And if you stuck around for the last two, you will be glad you did because we might have some upsets here. Might have some upsets on our hands. Let's go out to Provo, Utah, where we find a 9-0, undefeated, number 6 ranked BYU Cougars. That's right, folks. Undefeated in November, ranked inside the top 10 is where you find BYU. And they've got one coming to town that I'm telling you, a lot of folks are not paying attention to, but Vegas is. And you know we are keen to paying attention to what Vegas thinks about these games. The Kansas Jayhawks, 3-6 on the year. It hasn't been pretty at times, but they are coming to Provo to try and knock off this pesky BYU team. It's a 10-15 kickoff. What? A 10-15 kickoff. That's right, on ESPN. Provo at night. That's all you need to hear, right? Provo at night, 9-0 against 3-6. This should be a astronomical spread. It should be two touchdowns plus, but it's not. It is barely, barely 2.5. 2.5, folks. Vegas is telling you that these teams are practically even on talent alone. Right? Like you're going to give BYU 2, maybe 2.5 for home field advantage here, which tells you that Vegas thinks these squads are equals. So, how does this make sense? Right? So, Jaden Daniels, the quarterback, excuse me, Jaden Daniels plays for the Washington Commanders. Jalen Daniels plays quarterback for the Kansas Jayhawks. It's been looking better as of late, right? Like this Kansas team started the season really sloppy, but they have definitely picked things up as of late. Daniels is doing better at limiting mistakes. I think that's a big key on Saturday night. This BYU defense is opportunistic to say the least. Okay, they're ranked number 2 in the country in opponents' yards per pass attempt. That means that they are not giving up explosive plays at all, 5.4 yards per pass attempt. And they're also ranked number 2 in the country in opponents' interception thrown percentage, the percentage of opponents' throws that end up getting intercepted. They are ranked number 2 in the country in that statistic. So you are not explosive when you are facing off against that defense, and you're not really holding on to the ball because we're taking it from you. So Jalen Daniels, boy, I mean, if you have figured something out, now is the time to show it. Because this BYU defense is going to be coming after you on Saturday night and hoping to force some turnovers. You got to limit that. And if you're on defense, when you're on defense, if you're Kansas, I mean it's got to be better. You're ranked in the 90s in yards per play and yards per game allowed this year. That Kansas defense has been a tin horn. Okay? Everything. Up the middle, to the left, to the right, the passing game, the running game, it has all worked. So if I'm Jake Retzlaff and I'm Chase Roberts, the BYU quarterback and receiver tandem that we have seen light up Big 12 defenses throughout the year, I'm feeling really good going into this one. So again, why is it at 2.5? I'm just telling you, folks, Vegas knows that something is up, but I personally cannot make myself do it. It is only 2.5, which means I need BYU to win this one by a field goal. I think they keep the magic going, but this is an upset alert, folks. If you stay up on Saturday night, you better have this one on because BYU could be in trouble. The Cinderella season could be over. One more game to pick, and we are headed to Annapolis, Maryland. That's right. We are talking about the Navy midshipmen again. We are in November, folks, and we've talked about Navy twice. That's because they are playing some damn good ball, and they are facing off against some good opponents. This week, it is the Tulane Green Wave, the 25-ranked Tulane Green Wave. They are 8-2. Navy is 7-2 on the year. Tulane, a 7-point favorite on the road, a noon Eastern time kickoff on ESPN2. Now, we haven't spoke about Tulane yet on the podcast this year. And we probably should have, right? Because they're playing some good ball, man. They have got some weapons on offense that are scaring the piss out of the American Athletic Conference. Quarterback Darian Mensah, great. He's been great this year. Not super dual threat, doesn't run the ball a lot, but he's been really efficient through the air. And their running back, Mekhi Hughes, has been just an absolute stud. I mean, he's lighting teams up on the ground. They like to get him involved in the passing game as well. So look for him out of the backfield. But this is a Tulane offense that likes to put up points, folks. And probably the best defense that Navy has played outside of Notre Dame. They're definitely better than Memphis. Definitely not better than Notre Dame. I think this is the second best defense that Navy has played this year. So I expect Tulane to give that triple option some troubles. Now, are they prepared for the triple option? That's always the big ask. Navy's quarterback, Blake Horvath, has had a great season so far. If you are prepared to stop that triple option, I think Tulane has the guys to do that. I think they have the weapons on offense to put up a lot of points on Saturday afternoon. So I'm going to take the Green Wave here to cover that 7. I think Navy has had a magical season to this point, but I think the magic is starting to run out here a little bit. I'm going to take Tulane. Not super confident here. Could see Navy sticking around, getting some things going on the ground that keeps this one a little closer. But give me Tulane minus the 7. All right, that is it. That is 6 picks against the spread. Quick recap for you. I'm taking Tennessee to cover 9.5, but UGA to win that game straight up on Saturday night. Clemson, I will take them to cover 10 against Pitt. I think the magic has run out for Pitt. I think Clemson has figured things out. Oregon, I'm going to take them to eke one out against Wisconsin. Big upset alert here. Wisconsin plus the 14, but Oregon straight up. And then in Columbia, South Carolina, I like South Carolina to just absolutely drag Missouri through the mud on Saturday afternoon. South Carolina minus 14, hammer it. And then finally, BYU minus the 2.5. Not super confident in that one. Could be another upset scenario here, but I think Provo, Utah at night is just enough to get this one for the Tigers. Give me BYU minus 2.5. And then finally, Tulane minus 7 over Navy. I think they get that one done in big fashion on Saturday afternoon. But that is it. 6 more in the books. For my brother Tyler, who was not able to make it this week, we will make sure that he is back here next week, folks. He's been slacking. But we'll be back next week to recap these 6 picks and to give you 6 more. We appreciate you for listening. I'm AJ, and this was another episode of the Saturday 6 podcast. See you next week.